I really thought the choir was going to do another favor and sing another one and delay my execution for a few moments, but they let me down. I heard them tip on out. I said, "Wayne," I said, "aren't they going to sing anymore?" And he said, "No." I know why. They thought I'm a long-winded baby. Brother McDeal, thank you so very much. And I want to let you know I'm very happy being here at Southeastern. Miss Pep and I are very happy, and we were looking for my daughter to come, but she got stuck in 440 traffic. So since I'm on so early, she's going to miss the whole message. And I have really been treated so well, being allowed to come here. And I really tell you, I'm a person who believes firmly in the Lord. You can call on him at any time, even on a busy highway. We didn't have a flat tire or anything. Pep ran out of sugar. The car did one of these numbers. Then it did another. I said, "Hey, I think you'd better stop." There's a hymn that I love called "Take Time to Be Holy," and the fourth stanza has a line, "Be calm in thy soul." I got outside. I said, let me see if I can stop somebody. Those trucks were going, whoo, whoo, everybody just passing by. I raised both hands and said, "Jesus, I need an angel. Send me an angel. I really need an angel." And 3 minutes later, this man backed up. He got out of his car and he said, "Do you need help?" I said, "Yes. My wife's a diabetic and she's having sugar shock." He went and got us some orange juice. And then he got to talking, "Where are you going?" I said, "We were going to Winston-Salem, but I don't know where I'm going now." He said, "Well, I'll drive you there," because I told him what we were going to do. And he was an angel because he was an angel of the church called Sassafras Grove Baptist Church. And he took us there, stayed for the convention, and his son's girlfriend picked him up and took him back to Graham, where his car was waiting. If you ask the Lord for anything, believing he'll do it, he'll do it. Now, I should have asked him to wait to the second semester to put me on. But I got one good consolation. Brother Puckett was up here yesterday, I understand. He's a new professor, and he got his baptism before he thought he would. Would you pray with me? Lord, I want to be your instrument this morning. And I want to preach a message that will reach hearts and stir minds. And I ask for the inspiration and the guidance and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that I might preach according to your dictation. Use me as your instrument. May those look past me and see you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Ever since last December, God has planted a message in my heart. And I preached it the first time on the 6th of March of this year, so it's relatively new. I didn't get it out of any sermon book. My glasses don't work too well reading those things. So the Lord gave me a message called God's Will, Your Life. God's Will, Your Life. One of the most frequently heard prayers is, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." This comes from what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer, which I like to call the disciples' prayer, found in Matthew 6, 9 through 13. It is one of the most frequently prayed prayers and one of the least followed and meant. Thy will be done. How many lessons do you hear? How many sermons are preached on the will of the Lord? How do we understand the phrase, "Thy will be done"? What do you see personally in those four words? What is God's will in relation to my life, to your life? This is one of the most solemn commitments, one of the deepest convictions a Christian can make. Thy will be done. We will see this phrase come to life in two examples. It's my prayer that today someone who is on the brink, someone who is close to the edge, someone who has been feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit will say, my Lord, thy will be done. For this prayer is total, complete surrender to what God would have you do. Turn your Bibles, please, to Luke 22, putting in at verse 39. Luke 22, putting in at verse 39. Here is the first example of the meaning of the phrase, thy will be done. Here is the chief example in the Bible of total, complete, unequivocal surrender and submission to obedience and the bending and breaking of self-will and self-desire. We celebrate the Lord's Supper, the communion of the Lord's Supper, in which we celebrate Christ's suffering and death for us and for the world. But seldom do we read beyond the supper and catch the picture of what Jesus went through after they had sung a hymn and after they went out to the Mount of Olives. He had given them the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. He had showed the betraying hand of one of his chosen disciples. He had washed all 12 of his disciples' feet. And now we turn to our scripture. Luke 22:39. And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples followed him. This was a favorite place of prayer, of communing with God. And his disciples, including the betrayer, knew this place well, for he often went there. Now get this picture. His disciples followed him, all except one. John 13:30 tells us that Judas had gotten up and gone out, and it was night. Judas had gone out to bring the mob to break up prayer meeting. Verse 40. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Mark 14:32-35 tells us that Jesus began to be sore troubled and greatly amazed. Mark says that he took with him Peter, James, and John and went somewhat farther, saying to them, my soul is exceedingly troubled even to death. Stay here while I go yonder and pray. But he told his 11 disciples to pray that they would not enter into temptation. Pray that they might not be tempted to fall asleep. Pray that they would not yield to the temptation of being lulled into thinking that all was well when it was not. Verses 41 and 42. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and knelt down and prayed, Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Mark 14:36 says, then he prayed, Abba, Father, all things are possible to thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. This is the heart of the message. The cup was the cup of suffering and death, which he was about to drink for all his people and for the sins of every man, woman, child of every age, century, decade, and year. Sins for which he had no part, for which he had lived a sinless life here on earth. Now his very flesh shrank from taking on this suffering, this anguish, this torment, this death. His flesh wanted to withdraw from the bitter cup he was about to drink. And this is why he prayed, Father, if thou art willing, If it be according to thy will, remove this cup from me. This was a hard, soul-tearing, flesh-wrenching prayer, cried to the very throne of God from the depths of agony. One writer describing the scene said, 'Tis midnight, and on Olive's brow the sun is dark that lately shone. 'Tis midnight in the garden, now the suffering Savior prays alone. 'Tis midnight, and from all removed the Savior wrestles lone with fears. Even that disciple whom he loved heeds not his master's grief and tears. Surely, surely a dread filled the flesh of Jesus as he contemplated the cup that he was to drink on the morrow, that cup of pain, distress, anguish, death. His prayer touched the heart of God. Abba, Daddy, Daddy, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me. But then comes what I like to call spiritual resignation, total, complete surrender. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I call it spiritual resignation because it is complete submission to what God would have you do. Complete surrender to the will of God, holding nothing back, not even life. A giving up of everything, everyone, all that is held dear and precious, everyone, all that you own, all your desires, all your wishes. Jesus was saying, if it takes everything I have, everything I am, everything I want, including this life I live, then, my Lord, thy will be done. That is total commitment and willing obedience, my Lord. Thy will be done. The night, the cup of tomorrow, the intensity of the wrestling weakened Jesus' physical body and shook his very soul to its depths. Verse 43, and there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. The third stanza of the hymn that I just quoted above says, 'Tis midnight, and for others' guilt, the man of sorrows prays in blood. Yet he who hath in anguish knelt is not forsaken by his God. Falling, tossing, writhing on the ground, his strength failed. But God sent an angel, a messenger from heaven, came and poured strength into him. And that angel could just as well have said, Son of God, Son of God, there is no other plan. This was the plan from the foundation of the world, that you should be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But you see, complete resignation had not yet been attained. His brokenness was complete, yet he had to pray harder and with more intensity. Verse 44. And in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down upon the ground. This is the prayer that breaks self-will, that conquers all remaining stubbornness, earnest, soul-wrenching prayer that made him sweat. The sweat was so intense that his sweat looked like great drops of blood falling with his tears, I am sure, to the ground. All self must be conquered. All self-will must be defeated. Not my will, but thine be done. Not what I want, not what I desire, not what I need, but my Lord, thy will be done. To make that kind of statement and mean it is to declare complete, uncompromising, total, spiritual resignation to the will of God. Whatever you want from me, O Lord, whatever you desire from me, whatever is holding me back from being completely, totally yours, I yield and say, my Lord, thy will be done. I yield it completely, holding nothing back from you. The dearest object that I love, the highest ambition that I have, the fondest dreams that I may dream, the highest goal which I may pursue, the dearest treasure I possess, if it takes complete surrender of everything, my Lord, thy will be done. Jesus is praying that God's will be his will. So must one pray today. If he or she will become truly consecrated and dedicated to God, my Lord, thy will be done. Not what I will, but what you will. Not what I want, but what you want. This is perfect submission. This is true obedience. This is total surrender. This is spiritual resignation. When he prayed that prayer, he could go up, face his disciples, tell them it's time to go. The time has come to leave this place. The hand of my betrayer is near. Then he could go on, having surrendered completely everything, including the flesh, to God. He could face the agony of being beaten, the agony of being slapped. He could face all of this. He could face the cross. He could face God hiding his face from him to the point where he could cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But then he could come right back and say, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And then at the end, he could cry with triumph, it is finished. Just one more brief example. One of the greatest instances, although he doesn't say a single word in the text, is Joseph, the husband of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Let's go to Matthew 1, 18 and 19. Just suppose you were engaged to a young girl who, like you, was poor. Just suppose she told you before you had any contact with her, or before your marriage, that she was carrying a child, but that she was still a virgin. She says she is carrying the one who will save Israel from its sin. Can you imagine being a carpenter from Nazareth, what you would begin to think? Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example or to put her to public shame, was minded to divorce her quietly. Look at this man. Of course he could not believe such a wild tale. But he was a fair-minded man. And instead of doing what every Israelite could do, dragging her to the city gate and demanding that she be stoned for adultery, he planned to divorce her quietly, have the marriage contract canceled. Verse 20 says he was still thinking about these things. He was a fair man. He was a man who thought before he acted or spoke. And this saved the marriage. For an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and instructed him not to be afraid to take Mary, his wife, because she was telling the truth. The Holy Spirit had indeed come upon her, and she was the bare Savior who would save his people from their sins. And not only his people, but us too. Verses 24 and 25. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took his wife. Obedience, surrender, resignation. Obedience, surrender, resignation. If this is what you want, Lord, thy will be done. If you want to use my wife to bear your son, my Lord, your will be done. If it takes the very person I love to be surrendered, if it takes my most valued possession, if it takes renunciation of habit, position, and everything I have, my Lord, thy will be done. If I must go through sorrow or through joy, if I must weep as you did weep that night in the Garden of Gethsemane, if I must suffer grief, pain, or loss as you suffered, if I must feel pain and agony in order to be your disciple, if I must watch with self-denial and take up my cross of service, if I must follow wherever you lead, my Lord, thy will be done. You know, you are here today, so you're called to the ministry, that you're called to service. A writer wrote the words, "Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Not of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine with nothing between. Nothing between like worldly pleasure. Habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not my life from him ever sever. He is my all with nothing between. Nothing between. Nothing between like pride or station. Self or friends shall not intervene. Though it may cost me much tribulation, I am resolved there's nothing between. Nothing between in many hard trials, though the whole world against me convene. Watching with prayer and much self-denial, I'll triumph at last with nothing between. If you are going to walk with God, you cannot let a person or a thing or a position or a desire or anything stand in your way. Jesus could never have died if he had not made a total surrender, saying, my Lord, thy will be done. On the day I first preached this message, my wife was sick. She was at church. We'd been married almost 34 years. God knows I love her. But she was very ill that day, and she came on to church anyway. And then that Tuesday, she went into a sugar shock, and we took her to the hospital and discovered she had pneumonia. And the doctor said it was a very close call. I would have grieved if the Lord had chosen to take her. He spared me that. But I knew then why he wanted that message preached. If he wants to, he can take the dearest one I know, and still it would have to be for me, my Lord. Thy will be done. I'm going to close this message with a prayer hymn by Benjamin Schmoke. Schmoke wrote the words, "My Jesus, as thou wilt. Oh, may thy will be mine. Into thy hand of love I would my all resign. Through sorrow or through joy, conduct me as thine own. And help me still to say, my Lord, thy will be done. My Jesus, as thou wilt." Though seen through many a tear, let not my star of hope grow dim or disappear. Since thou on earth hast wept and sorrowed oft alone, if I must weep with thee, my Lord, thy will be done. My Jesus, as thou wilt. All shall be well with me. Each changing future scene I gladly trust with thee. Straight to my home above I travel calmly on, and sing in life or death, my Lord, thy will be done. Brothers and sisters, he didn't hold anything back. He didn't keep anything from us. So great was God's grace, so manifold with his love, that when God said, "Son, this is the plan, there is no other way, you have to do it," he said, "Father, my Lord, thy will be done." If pride or stubbornness or anything that you have in your heart is keeping you away. You will walk better with God. You will climb higher with God. You will be more established with God the day you lay your cross or your burden down and give yourself totally to Him and say to Him, no matter, God, what I go through, friends may turn against me. People may laugh at me because I am going to be a minister of the gospel. But Lord, I'd rather hear them laugh than to hear the souls crying because I did not tell the story of how you would save them. I would rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus because He died for my sins and rose for my salvation. Therefore, my Lord, Thy will be done. I feel like I could preach a little while, but I better hush. But I tell you, I love my Lord. He has first place in my life. Oh my goodness, nothing will claim my attention when He's calling for it. When I think of how good my God has been to me, what could I deny Him? After all, at midnight, He was praying, and the prayer was answered. He went to the cross according to God's will. They crucified Him according to God's will. They buried Him according to God's will. They put a Roman guard there according to the Jews' will. And the guard was supposed to stay there 3 days because they said something might happen. But I don't think they thought the disciples. They were suspicious lest something might happen and it might be wrong because of the way the man died. But you see, when they put Him in the grave, when they put the Roman guard there, all the craft of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all the might of Rome, all that soldiery, 16 soldiers strong around the tomb, didn't stop it, because when the time came, Jesus got up, made up His bed, left the tomb, and then the door was open. But I'll let that alone. And I'll close by asking you, is it your desire that God's will be done in your life? I'm going to pray with you now. And I want you to pray as I pray. You know, God has never let His children down. Let's talk with the Lord about it. Lord, You have kept us so far along the way. And Lord, somebody here today is making the step of total spiritual resignation. God, I would that this seminary be a place from which we launch out to let Your will be done. Lord, though people say all kinds of things, that isn't it, Lord. The mission is ignore what they say and go on. Father, I want this school to be a blessing, not only to the Baptists, but to this world, that souls caught up in doing Your will may, Lord, go out and preach Your gospel and sing of Your love and teach people. Lord, when people leave here, short-term missionaries, when people leave here, going to the Holy Land, when people leave here, Lord, I want You to just let their prayer be, as I go, my Lord, Thy will be done. As the president leads this institution, as we launch out into the college phase of our work.
May it ever be that no matter where we are, we'll be able to say, through Jesus Christ our Lord, my Lord, thy will.